This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus and the Hardball Times. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees. You can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts. We're on Instagram at Locked On Yankees. I'm in the Spotify Green Room at Stace Gotts, and you can subscribe to us on YouTube. Video podcasts will be coming your way next week. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, if my mouth works, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. We're going to talk about the game from Thursday night. I'm recording this late because there's no game today. It's an off day for the Yankees, thank goodness, and I figure you guys can listen to this on Friday evening instead of watching a game because there is no game. And I think it's kind of perfect that there's no game. It's Friday the 13th. I'm almost afraid of what could have possibly happened to the Yankees on Friday the 13th. Anyway, we'll talk about the game. We'll preview the remaining two games against the White Sox because they will be in Chicago on Saturday and Sunday. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone. In Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, everywhere. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. Here are my thoughts about last night's game. I would have preferred for them to lose 7-4 or even 7-6. It would have been nice to see Aaron Judge not make the last out of a game because I saw him do that on Sunday. And hit a home run, pulled the Yankees to within one, kind of teasing us, but not ripping our hearts out, which is what happened because the second Stanton hit that home run, at first I was excited, and then I realized, oh no, this is going to set them up for a spectacular loss, because that's the way things are going for the Yankees in 2021. And I know they've been playing well lately, because they have. They've won their last five series. They've been doing well since the beginning of July, quietly. People don't realize it. And I just felt it in my gut. And then Britton got the first out, and I thought, he got someone to ground out. That's what he does. That's good. And then the walk happened, and I thought, here we go. And then boom. And honestly, between Britton and Hendricks, All three of those home run pitches in the ninth inning between those two guys, awful. Absolutely awful. Why are you throwing the ball like that? To anyone. I mean, no offense to Tim Anderson, he's great, but I could have hit that for a home run. That was a cookie. He should have hit that as a home run. Unbelievable. Ugh, what a loss. It's not the, you know, some people were saying it's the worst loss. No, the Astros game was the worst loss. Absolute worst loss, hands down. And they've had a lot of heartbreaking losses this season. That was their fifth walk-off home run that they've given up. Fifth in one season. The Yankees bullpen. My God, the Yankees bullpen. Let's discuss this. They're the reason why the Yankees aren't doing as well as they're supposed to be. And I know everyone's going to say, well, the offense too. Yeah, but rattle off all of the games that the Yankees bullpen blew in spectacular fashion. What are we up to now? Six? Seven? For the year? If they had those seven wins instead of losses, they would be in such better shape. And yes, the offense has been disappointing. It's been disappointing all year. But the Yankees also lead the league in two-run victories. They need the pitching to be better. The pitching needs to come out and be better. And I know Andrew Heaney did not help things at all. I mean, the Yankees had no business coming back in that game. really, when you think about it. You can't give up 3 home runs and that many runs. And I know Boone wanted to save people, but you had the off day today. What are you doing? Why are you leaving him in this game? I also wasn't happy with the Britton move. Although I think Loaisiga was pitching too much, but I don't know. I felt like I wanted to see Loaisiga. Definitely didn't want to see Chad Green, because Chad Green tends to give up home runs as well. But Britton, my God, it was like watching Aroldis Chapman. But the game itself, I mean, you know, everything was cool about the game, and the cornfields looked cool, and the stands looked cool, and, you know, seeing everyone dressed as old-timey people from the early 19th century was... 20th century, I meant early 1900s. I know how the centuries work. That was funny, you know, seeing the Fox guys dressed up, seeing the guys who operated the manual scoreboard dressed up as if it were 100 years ago, that was really cool. You know I was saying a lot of negative things yesterday about the schmaltz factor of this game and of the movie itself. But as soon as Kevin Costner walked out of the outfield, you know, through the corn and made his way around the... I thought, okay, this is kind of cool. And can we talk about Kevin Costner? Can we? I know it's a baseball podcast, but he's been in a bunch of baseball movies. That's his thing. And my God, he looked good. And I'm not the only one who thought that, actually. Peter Bukowski, who hosts Locked On Today, I spoke to him last night after the game. They forced me to do it. Anyway, we were joking about, you know, even if the game doesn't turn out to be a good one, we can talk about how good-looking Kevin Costner still is. And it was just funny. And I'm sure Peter's wife would laugh at that. So anyway, I was referring to Costner as a zaddy last night, even though I don't really actually know what that means. I just see the younger kids saying that about older guys. Christopher Maloney of Law & Order, SVU, and Oz, and all those other things that he's been in. He did a photo shoot for, oh, you know what? I don't even know what it was. Maybe Men's Health, but I'm stuttering because the pictures were all over Twitter. He took a picture naked with a weight in front of him. That was all that was covering him. And people were referring to him as Zaddy. So yeah, that's a thing that the kids do. And now that I feel really old, we're going to talk about Built Bar. Yay, it's time to talk about Built Bar and all the delicious flavors they have. There's something for everyone. And when you talk to someone who likes Built Bar, and I legitimately like Built Bars, all the hosts like Built Bars. We actually talk about how good Built Bars are in our group DM on Twitter. It's hilarious. But if you don't know the flavors, you're missing out. Coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. As I always say, mint brownie is my favorite. I love it so much. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Built Bars are healthy. They're high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and they're good for you. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which is really cool. Go to built.com and use our promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that is built.com and the promo code is LOCKED15. So what else can we talk about with regards to last night's game? The uniforms. I saw people on Twitter talking about how boring the Yankees uniforms are. People will find anything they can to complain about when it comes to the Yankees. What do you expect them to wear? That's what the uniforms looked like 100 years ago. They haven't changed them much. The font was I don't think the font was thick enough, though, because if you look at the uniforms from then, the New York on the front is thicker. They did change the logo on the hat. That looked a little thicker. But I don't understand what people want. Yes, the White Sox uniforms were cooler because that's what they looked like then. And you know what? I'd rather have my team have boring uniforms than look like a beer league softball team, like other teams in MLB. Anyway, enough about that. Gerrit Cole was on TV last night during the game. They interviewed him. He talked about COVID and how it felt like a really bad flu for a few days. And then he joked that there's a Yankees variant, and you know what? It certainly feels that way. I thought that was actually pretty clever. A lot of people thought that was funny that he said that, but it's true. They're passing it around. I don't understand how they're the only team that's having this happen when, again, they hit the 85% threshold. And I know people who are vaccinated can get it, but it just seems odd that there are other teams with lower numbers of vaccinated people who aren't getting it at all. So it's just strange. Someone in that clubhouse is, I don't know, they're like a petri dish. It's just unbelievable what's happening to that team. So heading into Chicago tomorrow, which I don't know, maybe they had the off day in case the Field of Dreams game got rained out and they needed to do it again. I think that's probably why they had the off day. And that makes sense because MLB made a big deal about this game. They spent $5,000. Could you imagine if they only spent $5,000 on that stadium? They spent $5 million on that stadium. And they did a pretty good job. So tomorrow, oh, it's a 7:10 game. Hold on. Does that mean it's on? No. Okay, it's a local game. I thought maybe it was a Fox game and that they would make it be another national game, but not. All right, Jameson Taillon, the Yankees ace. I said this on the show the other day because he is the ace right now, against Dylan Cease. So let's look at Dylan Cease's numbers because I'm constantly telling you about Taillon's, but we'll go into Taillon's. Dylan Edward Cease was born, I don't know why I'm saying this, but this is freaking me out. He was born December 28th, 1995. You know what that means? That means I was 21 when he was born. How dare you? Let's look at his last three starts. August 8th against the Cubs, he went five innings, gave up three runs on five hits, walked three, struck out 10. Oh, he likes striking out people because on the 8th against Kansas City, he struck out 11 in six innings. He picked up the win there as well. Or that was against Kansas City at home. He was at Kansas City on July 27th, pitched six innings, two runs on six hits, one walk, six strikeouts. So, he likes striking people out. The Yankees like striking out. That might be a nightmare for them, but then again, maybe not. Taillon, six innings his last time out against Kansas City. No earned runs. Two walks, only four strikeouts. He had 10 against Baltimore, but that's understandable because it's Baltimore. Although Kansas City isn't that good either, but Baltimore is Baltimore. He is, let's see, he lowered his ERA. He is down at 3.82. So he is steadily doing well and getting better. And as I said, of late, he is the Yankees' ace. Now, obviously, we would like the Yankees' ace to last more than five or six innings in outing, but I'll take six innings of no run ball every day and twice on Sunday, or in this case, twice on Saturday. So then on Sunday, no easy feat. It's going to be Nestor Cortez against Lucas Giolito. I will say this about Lucas Giolito. He was on the All-Star game broadcast or during All-Star activities 2 years ago. And he is so smart and thoughtful and can talk about pitching all day. And he was a pleasure to listen to. Honestly, I love listening to pitchers talk about pitching. I really do. I'm kind of like Gerrit Cole in that respect. So Lucas Giolito, he's 9-8 with a 3.81 ERA in 137 innings on the nose. He has 153 strikeouts. So he likes striking people out. What just happened to my... Wait a minute. Okay. For some reason, the dates on my phone app changed to the other format where the day is first and the month is second. Because I'm looking at it, it says 9-8 at Minnesota. And I'm thinking, did I close my eyes and we're in September suddenly? No. August 9th against Minnesota. Eight innings. One run on only two hits. Eight strikeouts. Now, he ended up losing a game against Kansas City in his start before that on the 4th. He only pitched four innings, gave up six runs on eight hits, only had two strikeouts. And then the time before that, also against Kansas City, six innings, one run on four hits, one walk, seven strikeouts. So it seems he likes striking people out, but sometimes he has issues. So we'll see how that goes for the Yankees. As for Cortez, he finally picked up a decision the other day, but it wasn't the kind of decision that you would like because he picked up his first loss of the season. He pitched 5 2/3 against Kansas City, four earned runs on seven hits, five strikeouts. So overall on the season, he's 0-1 with a 3. Nope, that's last seven games. Sorry. 0-1 with a 2.70 ERA. So still good. 43 1/3 innings, 46 strikeouts. I just realized the Yankees don't have an off day on Monday, and they were supposed to, but they have the makeup game with the Angels because that, thankfully, was rained out. That was the day after the horrible loss where Aroldis Chapman gave up the grand slam in the ninth inning that I was a witness to, my first game back at Yankee Stadium in almost 2 years, and I had to witness that. Oh, and also going through how many rain delays? Yeah, that was not fun. There was another game that the Yankees just, oh God, this season is so weird. There's too many things going against them. You know what I mean? It just seems like it's an impossible task for them to actually do anything positive, because every time they're on a roll, something, it's like they're getting slapped in the face constantly. It's the strangest thing. It's almost like 2019, except worse, because 2019 they were a lot better and they had a better, like a more rounded team, but it's so similar. It's like every other day something else is happening to this team. Either someone's injured or someone has COVID. If I were a betting person, I would say that someone on the Yankees is going to test positive for COVID within the next 2 days. And if you're a betting person, you should go to BetOnline, because BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Do you love to order fish when you go out to eat but never make it for yourself at home? Cooking restaurant-quality dishes at home starts with high-quality seafood and simple techniques from Wild Alaskan Seafood. Wild Alaskan Company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood right to your door. Choose from salmon, whitefish, or a combination, and every month there are different specials to explore. Each shipment contains premium, wild-caught, individually wrapped portions of delicious seafood that's ready to prepare and easy to cook. Wild Alaskan Company seafood is how nature intended it to be. Always wild, never farmed or modified, and it contains no antibiotics. You can adjust, pause, or cancel your membership anytime, and they offer 100% guaranteed satisfaction or your money back. Get your nutrition from nature with Wild Alaskan Company. Right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/MLB. That's wildalaskancompany.com/MLB for $15 off your first order. wildalaskancompany.com/MLB. Make sure to use our URL to let them know that we sent you. On yesterday's show, I discussed August 12th, 2016. Now let's discuss August 13th, 2016, because on the Friday night of the 12th, A-Rod played in his last game. And on Saturday, August 13th, Aaron Judge and Tyler Austin made their debuts. And boy, did they make their debuts. You all know what I'm getting at. It was the Yankees against the Rays. Yankees were 60 and 56. Hold on. Wait a minute. No, they're not. Where are they now? Hold on. It's kind of close, which is kind of scary when you think about it, because that team did not make the playoffs. They're 63 and 52 right now. Yeah, they're pretty close. Okay, anyway. And Tampa was 46 and 69. Again, remember when they were bad? I miss them being bad. Anyway, let's go through the Yankees lineup. Jacoby Ellsbury, Aaron Hicks, Chase Headley, Didi Gregorius, Starlin Castro, Gary Sanchez, Tyler Austin, Aaron Judge, Austin Romine, and Masahiro Tanaka was your starter. Oh, Masa. I miss Masa. Now, he kind of had a rough day. Sort of. I mean, he pitched 7 innings, which is good, but he gave up 4 runs on 5 hits. 2 of them were home runs, but he struck out 8, did not walk anyone. And that lineup for the Rays, Logan Forsyth, Kevin Kiermaier, Evan Longoria, Brad Miller, Matt Duffy, Corey Dickerson, Mikey Matuk, Nick Franklin, and Luke Maley. Now let's see who hit the home runs. Oh, Brad Miller hit both of them. Right. Okay. In the 4th inning and the 6th inning. So, hey, that's back-to-back at-bats for him. Now the Rays were 1-for-1 with runners in scoring position, which is kind of crazy when you think about it, They only had four runs on six hits, and they only left two on base. The Yankees were 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position. They left four on base. And, well, we'll go through the home runs, because you know what I'm getting at. You know why I'm talking about this game, so let's go through it. The top of the first, bottom of the first, top of the second were quiet. Starlin Castro strikes out swinging. Gary Sanchez grounds out to second. There's two outs in the bottom of the second. Tyler Austin steps up, and on the sixth pitch he saw from Matt Andrazy, he hits a home run right down the right field line. And you're thinking, wow, he hit a home run on his first major league at bat. That's the coolest thing ever. Then Aaron Judge steps into the box, and you're thinking, wow, that's a big child. And on the fourth pitch that he saw, on a 1-2 count, he hits a home run that hits the restaurant. They become the first teammates to make their major league debut and go back-to-back with home runs. And you're thinking, wow, a new era of baseball has started for the Yankees. And it was kind of the case, because after 2016, when they didn't make the playoffs, they've made the playoffs every year since. They're in danger of not doing it this year, but they're still in it. Brad Miller hits a home run in the top of the fourth, and it's a three-run home run that puts Tampa up 3-2. Then Starlin Castro hits a home run in the bottom of the fourth, ties it 3-3. Aaron Hicks hits a home run. Wait a minute. Every run in this game was scored on a home run. Why don't I remember that aspect of it? That's crazy. Aaron Hicks hits a home run in the bottom of the fifth, puts the Yankees up 6-3. Judge and Ellsbury were on base. Then Brad Miller hits his home run in the top of the sixth. It's a solo shot, so it's 6-4 Yankees. Then Didi Gregorius hits a home run in the bottom of the seventh. It's two runs, and it's 8-4, and that's how the game ends. That's crazy. I mean, I'm sure that's happened before, where every run in the game is via the home run, but I want to know how often that happens, because it seems like it's something that isn't common. Wow, that's kind of crazy. But yeah, Austin and Judge go back to back, and I was watching that game with my mother and tried to explain to her the significance of them doing that. And she was just amazed at how big Judge was and how far he hit that ball. And it was a sign of things to come. So to recap, the Yankees lose the Field of Dreams game in spectacular fashion, but we're becoming used to those kinds of losses. At least we should be. I know some of you out there aren't used to it yet, but I mean, you know, it's August 13th. You should be used to it by now. They play two more in Chicago this weekend, then come back home to face the Angels in a makeup game on Monday, and then start a big series against the Red Sox on Tuesday. Again, I'll have the previews for all of that stuff next week, and I will be switching to video podcasts next week. So subscribe to us on YouTube if you haven't already. For now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can subscribe to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. Betting on the Yankees doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend, and I will talk to you all on Monday.